Okay, welcome to the Art of Meditation Fireside Chat. And let's start out with some triangle breathing. So put your right elbow in your left palm and take your ring finger, put it on your left nostril. Breathe in deep, four counts. And then at the top, pinch with your thumb and ring finger and drop your head for four counts. And then after four, out with your left nostril, with your thumb holding your right nostril. And breathe in through your left. Deep belly breaths. Hold at the top. Drop your head. Out through your right nostril for four counts. And continue. Slow, deep breaths. Try to slow the breath down a little bit if you can. And finish up. Okay, let's all take a deep breath in together and chant together. Attention to your eyes and the area around your eyes. Release any tension there. And pay attention to your cheeks and jaw. And release any tension you might have there. And top of your head. Just place your attention there. Sides of your head, back of your head, forehead, and whole head. Release any tension in the head. Relax your neck. And shoulders. Upper arms, elbows, lower arms, hands, fingers, and upper back, lower back, chest and abdomen. Pelvis. upper legs, knees. Lower legs. Ankles. Feet and toes. And relax your whole body at once. And imagine your body is one thing, one complete whole thing. And then pay attention to the breath. Give about 25% of your attention to the breath and the rest on your body. By breath, I mean the movement of the abdomen. Rising and falling. You can just let thoughts come and go. You don't need to do anything with them. Just maintain your attention on the wholeness of the body. And if there is any tension, Just let it go as best you can. And see if you can notice the stillness that's already there. It's a constant thing. It's always there. In the background. Just see if you could notice that. And if you can, just stay with it. And if not, just stay with the body. And don't worry about thoughts. Thoughts are a natural part of experiencing a body. And if you get derailed, thrown off track, just place your attention back on the breath and the body. No judgment. It's not necessary. Just gently go back again and again. Notice how alert you are. Notice if there's any dullness or agitation. Just notice it. And then go back to the body and the breath. Relax more. Into the stillness that is already there. dedicate this practice to someone special or someone who might be suffering in some way, or you can dedicate it to the awakening of all beings, the happiness of all, including yourself. Slowly wiggle your fingers and toes, and slowly open your eyes. Okay. Anybody wanna talk about anything? Have any questions or anything you wanna bring up? Topic that is they've been thinking about or whatever. I have something that I could talk about, but I want to see if you have something first. Okay. This idea to I wouldn't say like a prerequisite, but it's a little Seems a little forceful. I would love it if you could make time every day for 15 minutes, or at least attempt to make time every day for 15 minutes for me time, for you time, I mean. So either your whatever meditation you're doing, or doing compassion practice or forgiveness practice or releasing emotions or looking at your core beliefs, making any changes you need to make about them, etc., etc., whatever it is. But time that's quiet just for you, where you're not interrupted and everything is taken care of and you don't need to worry about anything being interrupted or anything. You can set aside all your concerns about whatever's going on in your life. Sound okay?
Okay.
All right, great. So I have this practice that I do. I call it the couch potato meditation. And it's really, really great. So I wanted to share it with you guys. It's so great. And you can do this during your 15 minutes of me time every day, okay? So what you do is you sit on the couch. Imagine that. You sit on the couch. That's it. Plus you can, if you want to, you can just put your attention inward and open up. So keep your energy inside, but open. And so let's try it now. Everybody want to try it? So imagine you're sitting on the couch at home. Hopefully you have a couch. Do you have a couch? Everyone have a couch?
I have a couch, but it's in the most central part of my house.
Yes, that's true.
Can you like make a couch out of your bed?
Yeah.
Like put a bunch of pillows up against the wall or
my
something?
My bed is my place, yes.
Okay, that's your couch. Okay, so... okay, so pretending you're in your couch and just keep your energy in. Your attention inward. You don't have to close your eyes. You can open, close, doesn't matter. And then open, just open. Open up to whatever is there. And if you do this for long enough, you might notice that there is a stillness, an alert stillness in the background. And it is always there. And you can just very relaxed and easily connect with this alert stillness. And if you don't notice it, that's fine too. You can just stay inside and open. Open up. And let whatever happen, whatever wants to happen, happen. Whatever thoughts, sensations, emotions, if they want to come up, just let them come up. Let them come and go as they please. And just stay relaxed and notice this alert still presence that is always there. And it's not a mental thing, not using your mind to sense it. It's a holistic thing. You're just feeling it holistically with your awareness. And it starts getting too serious, just put a smile on your face. Just enjoy it. And relax. And try to do it with your eyes open and closed. So what you're tapping into is the natural state. It's your natural state. And so you don't have to do anything to get into it. You just have to relax and be open. And the stillness will come. And just remember to keep your energy contained inside. And that's it. There's nothing to think about. And you can do this not just on the couch, you can do this while waiting in line at the supermarket, you can do this while waiting in line at the bank, or waiting for the postman, or walking down the street, or having coffee with friends. Or talking to a difficult person or just generally having a lot of thoughts, you can do it. And if you keep doing it, I think what you'll notice is that that you can tap into it, and then whatever's going on in the foreground is much easier to deal with. Yeah. Easier and just whatever's happening is more relaxed, and you're more in tune with yourself, you're more in the flow, and so it just makes everything a lot easier in my experience. So okay. Any questions?
What's the name again of the potato sofa?
Couch potato.
Couch potato.
Couch potato meditation. You could say couch sofa
couch
potato if you want. I don't know. We say couch.
Yeah.
Potato potato potato. Huh?
Sofa.
Sofa. Oh, I forgot. That's
sofa.
Right. The accent of the A.
What is the difference between the meditation that we do and the couch potato meditation? I don't understand.
There doesn't have to be any difference.
Okay, because there isn't.
It's up to you. I mean, it's your practice,
okay.
Right? So if you want it to be the same, you could, you know, if you want to do what you're doing on the couch in your meditation.
Yeah,
that's
I was just
too.
Trying to understand if there was an intent of. From you to show us the
difference. Oh, today you mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
from this meditation.
Between, yeah.
Oh, I see.
What,
okay.
What is the basic in your view? Because I didn't catch it. Maybe I don't know. I mean, I like it. You know, it's what I tend to do in meditation in general.
Oh, okay. All right.
What is the difference? Like, what? Or am I? Maybe I'm not focusing where I should. I don't know.
The only difference in. So the meditation today was it's like a more formal, deep kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
not
yeah.
not
yeah.
just like hanging out and like
yeah.
attention, like
yeah. Okay.
paying
yeah.
attention to the
okay.
the stillness around you.
Yeah.
And if you do this, if you do this throughout the day, it will affect your meditation. And most likely you'll be able to go much deeper with your meditation.
Okay.
And vice versa, a very deep meditation can affect how you practice throughout the day. And I do recommend practicing throughout the day because it will, everything will kind of have a snowball effect
mm-hmm.
and accumulate this presence in you. And so, everything will be more in the flow, and the more you do it, the more benefits you get. The more benefits you get, you'll want to do it more, and then bigger and bigger and more, hopefully. Yeah. Okay. So. I'm just going to talk a little bit about emptiness, but it might be too heady.
What?
I kind of want to keep it light today. So I'm not feeling so heavy, but anyway, does anyone even know about the quote-unquote Buddhist concept of emptiness? Okay. Great. Good to start from scratch. I heard this recently. This is an old Zen quote. When you teach a baby what a bird is, that a bird is a bird, the baby will never see a bird again. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that with that in mind, there's this, I really like the Tibetan name for it, and I like that there's kind of an English equivalent, but I like to use this. So in Tibet, they call it Adunchi. Adunchi is a mental image. Okay? So Adunchi is basically, in English you would say, it's a label. So when you teach a baby what a bird is, you're giving this thing, so a baby doesn't see a bird, right? An infant child does not see a bird, it only sees love. It just has no concept of bird. It just sees love, right? Okay? Because there's no separation, it's unity consciousness, right? For a baby. So when you teach it what a bird is, then you have this book, right? You show them, like, okay, this is a bird, right? That's what that is. Okay. So then it has this image, or it has this image out there of that bird or whatever. And it's not in here, but you know, they have it wherever it is. There's a mental image of a bird. And that is what we learn growing up, right? We learn this is a bird, this is a lizard, frog, you know, horse, whatever. And we learn all these things, we watch videos and look at books and whatever. And so then we stop really looking at what is there, because we have this mental, we have a dunchi, and we're slapping this label, this dunchi, on everything that we see and experience, right? So now we grow up and we go to college, and then we slap labels on top of the labels we already have. And so now we have more labels, and then we compare these labels to these labels over here, and we learn that that's a really good thing because that's going to get us a job afterwards, and we're going to make a lot of money, and then we can retire and stare at our navels and go fishing and play golf or whatever. So we're learning more and more, okay, these labels are good, these labels are bad, right? We're never actually we stop experiencing what is actually there. And so what is there? So in Mahayana Buddhism, there's a school called the Mind-Only School. Mind-only school says...
What is it? Mind...
Mind-only.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-only, as in all things are mind-only. So, because the world comes from your mind, apparently. So, in the mind-only school, it's like this. Thing, dunchi. So everything is like this. You're projecting... There's a thing out there, an object. You don't know what it is, but it's an object. It has a shape or something. And then you slap a label onto it. So everything is like this. First image, then the label. And so to me, that's very interesting because that kind of explains why we're all kind of like,
What are you going to say?
Like, oh, I don't, it's like, whatever, today is just another day, and
apathetic.
I gotta go to work. Yeah, apathetic, there you go, yeah. Yeah. And there's still more...
curiosity.
There's no more curiosity, and you're not experiencing life, like, directly, life, like... You know, it's blocked. You're blocked. You're blocking yourself off because everything that you're projecting is dead. It's completely dead.
It creates separateness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
But the separateness is already there because you're in separation consciousness anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the separation on top of the already separate me, you, you know, her, him, them, us, right? So,
call it lack of magic.
Yes.
Lack of magic, yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good. Yeah. So, what else do I want to say about that? Oh yeah, so that so then we're like, oh, what do we do now? And then so this so then we get into strategizing. Because we're not in the flow. So then we're like, oh, I gotta do this, get that, so I can get this over here so I can eventually be happy, right? So then I have to do all these things, and then like one day I'll have it, you know, I'll have it, and then I'll be happy, like I'll be it. And we strategize all day long, we do this, like unconsciously a lot of times. But if we see that we're doing this, if we see the stillness, or if we can connect with the stillness, which is unity consciousness, then there's no more reason to strategize. It doesn't make sense to strategize anymore, because it's all just flow. So if there's any goal to meditation, that's it. You know. To go beyond this strategizing separation consciousness, even though meditation is a goal in itself. And, you know, so, because there, how can there be a goal if it's just the self, exploring the self, if it's just the actor being the actor? And not playing the character anymore, right? So, but if you look at it from the character's point of view, oh, I want to have a goal, okay, so that's the goal, meditation. But really, there's no goal. There's just beingness and exploring that. From your beingness, a beingness being, I guess you could say. Yeah.
So how do they explain, from a Buddhist perspective, like the need to survive, right? So our basic needs need to be met. So how is that dealt with in that tradition?
In Mahayana Buddhism, it's a good question. There are, you take care of your needs, you know, so that you can do this, so you can do these practices. And in the Tibetan traditions, you know, the monks were taken out of the home at a young age and put in monasteries, unfortunately they didn't have nuns at that point, but the monks would grow up and everything would be, you know, they'd have chores, but everything would be taken care of, and then they would learn these, so they didn't have to worry about.
But like as a householder, for example, so like, you know, so okay, monks is one thing, but
right.
As a householder, how does the, you know, because there's one, and I think I kind of know the answer, but there's one thing is just to be in that beingness, and to, I like that idea of the exploring the stillness in,
oh, I see what
you're saying.
You
know, and everything that you do, so like going to work,
yeah.
And you hold, it's not because you're trying to achieve anything with it other than survival. I don't know, do you see what my mind is going,
yeah.
Other than survival, or
yeah.
Because you have to survive, right? Like, I mean,
right.
You have to eat, you have to
right.
Earn some money.
I see what you're saying, yeah. So the more... I've noticed this in my practice, the more I practice, the less I have to worry about it, and things just happen.
Mm, yeah.
And things just take care of themselves. And
yeah,
so they don't really...
dinner doesn't take care of itself. So.
Okay,
know what
so
I mean?
Yeah, but you, it does in a way because you just do it.
Yeah.
So
in the flow, right?
Yeah,
so like
exactly,
you're
yeah.
In this, like,
so,
yeah.
Yes, so this is a very good point, though,
yeah.
That you bring up. When you experience this... just
stillness
in the background,
mm.
Then everything changes,
mm.
And then suddenly you find yourself doing things you never thought you would do or could do,
mm.
Including making dinner, and it takes much less energy, and you're just like, oh, like, oh, I'm gonna clean the house, boom, 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 like,
mm.
Done. Like, you didn't even really think about it,
mm.
Because it was just in the flow. It was
mm.
just the next thing to do.
Mm.
It's not necessarily what Mahayana says about that, but, I mean, that's what people say that have gone very deep into the flow, is that just, in my own personal experience, it just, yeah, it happens that way. It doesn't,
mm.
Everything just takes care of itself because... you don't have to motivate this body anymore
mm.
to do, it just does it.
Mm.
And it's almost like you're looking kind of from outside of it
mm.
all, you know? So there's no like, oh,
yeah.
I gotta pay the bills
yeah.
or whatever, you know, like, it's less and less and less
important.
That.
Important.
Yeah, yeah. And it just, things just happen.
Mm.
And it's, you can't really explain it. It's not like a, because it's not within the realm of ego anymore.
Mm.
It's just consciousness.
Mm.
It's exactly what you said. I think one of my discoveries lately was that exactly what we consider to be important
mm.
in our daily routine is what overwhelms us
mm.
most of the time. And I was always feeling overwhelmed. And since I desperately came to the point of I need to do meditation because I need to find some way, and this is the only resource I have at the moment
mm.
because I cannot do other stuff.
Mm.
I cannot be in retreat all the time.
Mm.
I just can't. Is to realize as I start doing the meditation how much we fill up our goals in the day. Of course, I'm not comparing lives
mm.
here, you know, because, you know, you have two kids, you spend most of the day with them, you know, and, but yeah, we're all busy, we all have work, we all have responsibilities, and basically what I realized is that I am filling up a lot of the tasks that I need to do with more thoughts and more needs than actually there are.
Mm.
My brain is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm overwhelming myself with it.
Mm.
I would not be maybe so positive as what he's saying, but his experience is that,
mm-hmm.
is that you don't, it takes care of itself, as you said, yeah. I mean, wow, I would love to get to that point,
mm-hmm.
but even just I don't fill up more than what there is in my normal life, because that I can actually handle is what I discovered.
Mm.
And before I thought I couldn't. I thought, okay, I came into a hole, I cannot get out of this, and, you know, and then I realized, no, I was actually creating that hole
mm.
in all of this, you know,
mm.
Busyness.
And that's this idea of simplicity, isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, it's like...
Because we make, you know, like we need to make dinner, yes.
Mm.
But do I need to make that dinner that I put in my mind that I need to
or
do?
Can it be
do I need to do all those things? Or can I just eat a sandwich today,
mm.
you know? Or can I just fast today,
mm.
you know? Depends
mm.
on if you have children or not, obviously. But am I making this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, you know? And attaching yourself to those goals.
Mm.
And then you're overwhelming. That's what I realized. I was overwhelming myself because I had this idea about what should be done all the time.
Mm.
And I could not detach myself from it.
And the meditation gave me that space of, is it really that important?
Yeah.
Is it really that important that I do this? What is important in my life? What is important in my routine? Okay, this isn't stuff. And what about all that?
No.
And this starts making me better for me.
That's really, yeah, that's really great. One thing I'll add to that is I started writing things down, things that I had to do.
Lists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not necessarily just lists. Well, yeah, I mean...
it's a good point.
I put things in my calendar whenever I... So everything that comes up, I either write it down in my notes or on a piece of paper,
mm.
or I put it in my calendar and I forget about it. And I set alarms and I forget about it. And then it's gone.
Mm.
So then you're not carrying this stuff around with you all the time.
Yeah.
You're more freed up. And it's little by little, you know. You're just working on it day by day, and eventually things will loosen up and flow more.
Mm.
And then suddenly one day you might just go, oh wow, that's like, this whole day was just so easy. Like, how was it so easy?
Mm.
I did all this stuff. Like, I did like 20 things and like, just like boom, you know? And you can take, the idea is you can take on more and more responsibilities and whatever, you know, like.
And then you still have the energy.
And you still have more energy, yeah. And you just have more and more energy.
Mm.
And it's like, but it's not like this kind of energy. It's just like,
yeah.
It's this boundless, it's
boundless.
Life. It's just boundless life. And it just comes up and it's like, wow, okay, let's go with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's ride this wave.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a change of paradigm, you know, from going this.
Yeah.
You know, like we are taught
yeah.
to be warriors and to be
yeah.
like, you know, go for life and fight for what you want and
yeah.
all that. To going, I'm just going to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What I need to do, you know, without that energy off, it's a relief.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be nice to talk, I don't know, in another one about the witness consciousness. I mean, maybe you've spoken about this.
Witness consciousness.
Yeah, yeah, just,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, just because I find a lot of my day is spent, you know, thinking about all sorts of ridiculous things
mm-hmm.
that are absolutely not required.
Yeah.
You know, and I go into witness consciousness, but it's not. I'd appreciate
sure.
that conversation because I think
sure.
it's a really
yeah. okay.
important topic.
Sure. The other thing I wanted to ask is if you guys are interested in doing solitary retreat for any length, when we could talk about that next time as well. If that's interesting to you.
What do you mean solitary?
Yeah, can you?
Solitary retreat, like
spend the
weekend by yourself somewhere.
Yes.
Like find someone to watch your kids and spend a whole day or a weekend or 2 weeks or 3 months or a year.
3 months. Then I did my meeting.
By yourself doing your practice and how to do that.
No,
and how to, you know.
Knitting is part of the practice.
Huh?
Knitting is part of the practice.
Knitting?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
That's your meditation.
You could do a knitting retreat.
I do lots of,
like,
kind of, but yeah.
You could do mindlessness knitting retreat.
Yeah.
So if that's interesting, I can talk about that next time,
mm,
too.
That's interesting.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Wonderful. What I love most of all is like we have it already inside us and we have it, you know, what we're seeking. We don't have to, because I'm used to like, you know, looking externally for like help from this person, that person, you know, go to this person for this, fix me, or please fix me. But no, it's already here.
Yeah.
That's just the best of all, isn't it?
Yeah. It is the best of all.
Feeling very excited.
It's portable.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay, all right, we're over time. Thanks, everyone. Yeah,
thank
awesome.
You.